There was something in your voice.
You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by the H and Claire of podcasting, me, Joel Babington, and David Lim.
Hello, JB. So the big question is, who's H and who's Claire?
Well,
I think we have essences of both.
I think we have essences of both, and I think that's what makes us perfect. I mean, maybe I did send you a video of me giving a Claire adjacent vocal earlier this week.
Yes, you did. That was gorgeous.
So that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, well, you did have more of a H hair back in the day. So I think maybe
back in the day, and I did have sort of like theatre roots.
Exactly. So maybe you are more H that's transitioned to a Claire. Like, you've just kind of turned to this boss babe now. What a journey you've been on.
I'll take it. Absolutely. So who would you self-identify as? So if I'm maybe a Claire with a H rising, what would you say you are?
Can I just say I'm a Lisa with a Lisa rising? I identify deeply with Lisa.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. Oh, actually, do you know what? Maybe a little bit of Faye energy, I feel.
Okay, this isn't fair because you just gave me the options of H and Claire because I identify as Faye. Well, I aspire to be Faye, National Treasure Faye Tozer.
And I want the body of Lee. So yeah, that's goals always.
Yeah, just dreaming of Lee. Speaking of dreaming of Lee, David, I had a nightmare the other night and it was literally the Right Back At Ya horror movie. Sorry, Alex, if you're listening. The ultimate man of my life, other than my boyfriend, obviously, Lee from Steps, finally said he was going to leave his pregnant wife. She is pregnant in real life. His pregnant wife for me. And I was just like, okay, great. Obviously not great, but great. You know, my 8-year-old
great
dreams
you,
are coming
yeah.
true. And then, so me and Steps were all in this big house. And the wife was trying to kill me and she was trying to find me and kill me. And the rest of Steps were like, what are you doing? And then Samantha Mumba came out of nowhere and said, what's this about Lee leaving his wife? And then I think I was just so scared I woke up.
I love this. This really is a Right Back At Ya horror movie. Like a take on Beyonce's Obsessed, but with, you know, the smash hits Paul Winner's Party cast.
And then obviously you'd be there to like save me. I think you would stop her. You know, like I'd be like, this is the end for JB. And then
I'm the Brandy character and I still know what you did last summer.
And then obviously, you know, you PR the hell out of it. So we come out on top.
Shame you ejected yourself from the movie so soon. That really could have been a blockbuster smash. But I love that Lee penetrated your dreams, for lack of better words.
It was a very innocent dream. Well, beyond the horror movie, it was very innocent. He just told me he was leaving his wife for me. And that was enough. That was all I needed.
I would say Steps is one of the most requested artists that we've gotten.
Absolutely.
Because they've had 2 albums in the last 3 years, right? And it felt like every time around that or a major release, we would get asked, are you going to do Steps? For me, I was just like, I needed a moment. And I felt like, to quote Martine, this is Steps' moment.
This is Steps' moment. And I think it's a really perfect time for us to release it, you know, because we're doing it in between their releases. It will come out like before the album's out and before the tour. Because, you know, we like to celebrate these things when there's not huge amounts going on, you know. So, David, before we get into today's Steptacular episode, can you please read one of our lovely 5-star reviews?
So, guys, as you would have heard from our 40th episode, we're very, very chuffed and very taken aback every time we get love and appreciation from you guys. So thank you so much. It means a lot to us. We do have a brand new one, JB, I would like to read. This one is by Sinead Devlin. The title says, Poptastic Positive Energy. You guys give me so much joy every time I listen to this podcast. As a child of the 90s, I am so passionate about pop music from then and the noughties, and I love rediscovering old faves like Billy Piper, Ashley Simpson, etc. I really want a Steps episode. Oh, Sinead. This is a little Black Mirror, isn't it? It's like you are within the Steps episode, honey. Okay, I really want a Steps episode as I love them so much, but I get the feeling you two don't love them as much as the Spice Girls. I saw the Spice Girls at Wembley on their most recent tour, and me and my bestie cried at the joy of seeing them live once more. Keep up the good work. Well, Sinead, darling, I have to say, you are, well, you're not wrong that we love the Spice Girls more, for me anyway. But we are here to celebrate Steps at last.
We are here. And I look, thank you. A, thank you so much, Sinead. That's wonderful. B, I feel like it was very clever, Sinead, because you said, I really want Steps, first and foremost. Then it was so specific, I feel like the two of you don't love them as much as the Spice Girls. A very specific choice of words there. Because considering, I guess, we are, for, considering we haven't done the main bulk of the Spice Girls, we are kind of quite known for the Spice Girls in some circles. And then it felt like you were doing a little bit of a bargaining there, Sinead. You were saying, you know, I feel like you don't like Steps as much as the Spice Girls. Here's a story of when I was at the Spice Girls to try and trick us into going, okay.
Okay, she doesn't hate us. Yeah, she's buttering us up a little bit. Yeah.
That was genius. We need to get you involved in the Right Back At Your Steps horror movie. So lovely, Sinead. Thank you so much for that. And guys, if you are liking what we're doing, please do leave us a lovely 5-star review and give us a follow on all our social platforms at Right Back Pod. So, David, we've said it enough, but officially, who are we covering today?
We are covering one of the most iconic pop groups to come out of the UK in the late 90s, and we are talking about Steps. JB, I know for you, this is really right within your demographic of, you know, when they came up was basically when you were their prime audience. Mm-hmm. For me personally, I caught them at the very beginning when I was living in Malaysia, seeing 5678 on the music video channels all the time, seeing their albums everywhere, and then I kind of dropped off after about two singles, until 4 years ago when Scared of the Dark came in. And really, for me, the Sky reunion documentary was my way back into Steps. And hopefully a lot of people listening, if you're like me, you can go on this journey with me and the JB and maybe fill in some gaps, because this is kind of what it is for me. This is a fill in the gaps kind of moment.
And I think what we'll see as well, I loved ED and love present, love Steps. I was there. I was the target audience. I was amongst it. But what is incredible about Steps, and I know what all of our pop groups do, but they had such a vast amount of output during their initial run. Like, each album had about 5 singles each. So even me, as someone that was so present and was so there and such a fan, and has always been a fan, has been to every reunion tour since, there are still some singles we'll cover, and probably even more so in part two, that I was, you know, it took a beat, you know. We're going to cover a lot of stand-up today, but sometimes there are some where I'm a bit surprised it was a single, if I'm honest.
Wow. Yeah,
it even missed me, and I was here for it.
Wow. So as you say, there will be a part two and maybe even three and onwards. So today we are focusing on the first two album eras of Steps. So that's Step One and Steptacular. And within that, there's like 3 tours as well. So they Amazing. Were very busy in this period, and I cannot wait to dive in. And it feels like it feels like a right capsule of these two eras to kind of jump in first with Steps, you know?
David, what you missed is 3 tours plus Britney.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget Britney.
Oh, nobody forgets Britney. So Steps, really, to write back at your listeners, don't need very much introduction. They were an absolute force in the world of pop music for 4 years in their initial run, sold over 20 million records worldwide. At their prime, 14 consecutive UK top 5 singles, including 2 number ones, 3 multi-platinum albums in 3 years. They were so many people's in this generation's first pop heroes, first concert, first pop band idol, really. You know, when you look at the canon of great kind of 90s pop groups, there's Spice Girls, there's Backstreet Boys, there's Steps.
What we weren't there for, unfortunately, was also the fact that this band, in their original reign, was practically GAY royalty.
Oh, wow.
You know, kids, teens, but also the gay men that were our age back then, top tier pop act.
Those Papa's O'Clock remixes started very early with Steps, so they were floor filling before 18s were floor filling.
Mm-hmm. And look, we won't get into it today, but we all know, to quote Lisa Scott Lee, it was such a shock when they broke up on Boxing Day 2001. But we'll save the tissues and tears for a future episode.
Yes, so that is what the future holds for our Steps trilogy. Did you love that? I just came up with that on the spot.
I loved it.
So as I mentioned before, the last two albums, 2017's Tears on a Dance Floor and then last year's What the Future Holds, very big success with Steps. These last two albums peaked at number two in the UK. The last one, What the Future Holds, became their first top 30 album in Australia since Steptacular. And that's a 21-year gap, which is crazy.
Well, hello.
And Steps will be having a brand new album, What the Future Holds Part 2, coming out on 10th of September with a national tour in November and December, crossing all fingers.
And I can't bloody wait. So, David, that is now. Let's go back to the then. So let's go all the way back to 1997. There is an ad in the Stage looking for members for a brand new line dancing pop act. Now, there are five members originally in this band, including H, or Ian Watkins, and he now is then becomes known as Ian Hyperactive Watkins, aka H, and Lisa Scott Lee, with three other members. Those three original members decided to leave because they didn't want to be known as a one-hit wonder. Can you believe?
Well, it is their loss. And do you know what? There's a time and place, and things are meant to be what they are. So maybe Steps wouldn't have been what it is with those three members. It needed these five.
It needed these five. That magic, that sparkle. The members that we know and love have joined. The definitive Steps lineup is formed, and they are signed for a one single deal for a line dancing pop spectacular 5678.
I love that it was so specifically line dancing, like that was part of the brief.
It was to capitalize on the huge trend of line dancing that was happening in the UK. This was an activity, a hobby for some.
I didn't know that was a thing.
We didn't have much else to do in the 90s.
Was it like a thing with primary school? Like, did they teach you guys to do that? School dances and stuff?
No, it was more like teens and adults, I think. Like going to a bar and having a drink and doing line dancing.
That is crazy.
Like 90s was like wild.
Also, we must say one thing about Claire. She was in another group before joining Steps. She was in a girl group, wasn't she?
She was. TST.
And they supported Boyzone and Peter Andre. And there was a number 69 hit on the UK charts called Heart and Soul.
I don't think they even utilised having Claire's talent and amazing voice, really, when you look back at the clips.
Yeah, it is like quite wild to see Claire in another group, but they kind of felt like three renter vocalists for like Eurodance songs. Mm. You know, it didn't really have a particular flavour or personality. But shout out to one of the members in there, Cozzy Costi. She ended up becoming quite a successful dance crossover songwriter. And she wrote Holly Valance's Naughty Girl. Iconic.
Iconic. Rita Ora's school friend, Holly Valance. Look, they were signed to this one single deal. Pete Waterman heard the demo before it was released, got his hands on it, gave it a signature Pete Waterman once over, and agreed to work with this band as long as he would have creative control. And as they say, the rest is history.
So here we are in November 1997, the debut single for Steps, 5678. It's time to begin, I'll count it in. 5678. My boots good and baby is driving me crazy. My obsession Jolie, what really floors me watching this video again, and I haven't watched this properly in very many years, is Lee's got the lead on this.
Lead vocalist Lee.
The kind of rap with the techno beats really did remind me of Aqua's music. Mm. And Aqua was huge everywhere in Malaysia in the 90s. So I could really, it really took me back to a place like, oh, wow, yeah, I remember loving Aqua and loving this song. And it just went hand in hand.
And then when it comes to the choruses and the female vocals, I would say I can hear Faye the most on the chorus. And then Lisa is the only girl with a sort of solo line ad lib. Ooh, ma, burba. So it's really, to me, I just found that really interesting that I guess they just hadn't, you know, it's the first song. It was a very specific thing. They hadn't found or looked into the magic sparkle of it yet.
I mean, it's all about the presentation, that music video with the line dancing in the beach, like, it was just a total package. That was what we were sold.
Exactly.
You know, rather than there's this vocalist, there's this member that does this. I think it was just early days. They hadn't worked out the kind of chemistry and the strengths of the group yet.
Speaking of the music video, what I really appreciated was the red and black looks towards the end. I just thought that was slick. I thought it was like a sexy 90s pop star look, especially, you know, it's new. It is a one single deal at this time. Probably no money for development. That was hot, I thought.
If this was a relatively cheap video for the 90s, it still is beyond, because they shot this in Marbella and it was shot by the director, Phil Griffin, who would later go on to do Sound of the Underground and Victoria Beckham's Let Your Head Go.
And director of Britney for the record.
Wow. I mean, it all started with Steps, really.
It all started with making a brand new line dancing pop group as sexy and slick as possible. So well done, Phil. Now, David, I have to say, here in the UK, this song, for better or worse, in the late 90s, was the ultimate school disco song. And this is where I think Steps are really lucky that they didn't become, you know, a Saturday Night or a Macarena. Mm. With the next single, it really, and you know, you can see why those members probably wanted to leave, because it just looked like, and so could have easily been, you know, this eternal song that encapsulated that, and that was it.
And then really, when you look at the chart record, which we will in this episode for Steps, this is the lowest charting single that we'll talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
But you needed something this bizarre, this novelty, to really capture the attention. And you know, we're about to talk about the chart positions in a sec, but, you know, it peaked at number 14 in the UK. And for a debut pop group, usually you don't get a second chance after that. It's very rare anyway, but thank goodness they did.
Whilst it was, you know, not top 10, not top 5, it had one thing that these other songs didn't have, and that's called longevity.
Longevity, indeed.
That could be like the right back at your 2000s pop game. And it's like, oh, your single didn't make the top 10, you're out. And you're like, no, I've got this bonus card that's longevity. Bang! Turns it all around and you soar through.
The right back at your Uno game, yeah.
Exactly.
The Jenny Frost longevity card.
Yeah, exactly. In for a long time, not a fun time. Because it didn't peak at 14 for quite a while.
Yeah, literally. So it entered the charts at number 18, and then 8 weeks after it reached its peak of number 14, it would eventually be certified platinum in the UK, and it did spend 10 weeks in the top 20. So very consistent indeed.
And before we leave this song completely, I just want to give a quick shout out to the B-side, Words of Wisdom. It's a very nice 80s, 90s sounding ballad.
I thought it was very clever to include such a pensive mid-tempo as a B-side, just to kind of say to kids buying it, hey, we can sing. And there's a different side to Steps. And that different side kind of sounds like a Lisa Stansfield album track.
And what I found so interesting about it, David, was that the girls sound brilliant on it. The song lacks their distinctive different vocals. So I listened to it and they all sounded fantastic. To be honest, I would need to listen to it a few more times to really pick out who was singing. Whereas, you know, every other Steps song, you know when it's Claire, you know when it's Faye. And boy, do you know when it is our queen, LSL, Lisa Scott Lee. So, look, as we've said, it peaked at number 14 here in the UK.
I just want to say, in November 1997, the month that this single debuted, what an extremely magical month for pop it was. Aqua's Barbie Girl was number one in the UK. Spice Up Your Life came out. Natalie Imbruglia's Torn was number two. You know, Steps actually debuted the same week as All Saints Never Ever. So that came in at number three on the charts behind Barbie Girl and Torn.
What a time to be alive. Take me back to 1997, baby. It was a number one smash on the UK indie charts. Shout out to the UK indie charts. I think we'll be hearing a lot from them today. Do you know where else this was a number one smash hit, David? And I can't even thank you for it because you were not there yet. Australia. Thank you, Australia. Not thank you, David Lim, but I'll thank you, David Lim, anyway.
So it was released in Australia the following year in March 1998, and it climbed to number one there after 13 weeks on the charts. And at the end of the year, it was the 15th best-selling single in Australia. So shout out Steps fans there.
Oh, what would have been? They were due to do the So Pop tour, weren't they, David, in Australia?
Oh, yeah.
As the very special guests with the Pussycat Dolls headlining, Samantha Mumba, Jesse McCartney. That would have been, like, that could have justified, like, me trying to save my pennies and making your mum let me stay there.
Yeah, I mean, you're very welcome in the house of Mama Lim. But yeah, that literally, that festival would have been Rumba, the second coming. So yeah.
Rumba 2021. Well, look, let's hope 2022, Australia gets the pop resurgence they so deserve. Number two hit in Belgium. Number two in New Zealand. Hello, our lovely friends in New Zealand. Number nine in Scotland. What are you playing at? But I guess that's better than the 14 here. So actually, I take the what were you playing at and I give you a hats off to you, Scotland. So let's go from November 1997 to April 1998. Now, one can only assume that in this space of time, they were doing 5, 6, 7, 8 around the UK and around Europe and every bit of the world that would have it, but also working on what is Steps Beyond This Line Dancing Combo. And what is Steps Beyond This Line Dancing Combo? Well, according to Pete Waterman, it is the 90s answer to ABBA. So, David, we have here one of my favourite Steps songs, Last Thing on My Mind. And what some people might not know is that this is a Bananarama cover. This really is kind of like the first proper Steps song. And then it also has the signature Steps song format where all the girls, you know, get a nice lead vocal moment in the song.
You said it's one of your favourite. It definitely is one of my favourites as well. In fact, I liked it so much that at the start of the whole iTunes store kind of boom, this was one of the first tracks I downloaded. $1.68, off you go. Take that, Steps.
Money well spent.
Got that HQ version of Last Thing on My Mind on my iPod.
Take that, LimeWire. Let's talk about the music video, David. Give me Lee's 70s wardrobe and that chunky heel that he has in this music video. That is what my wardrobe needs. And these pool scenes, fingers crossed, that is going to be everyone around the Lidos this summer.
This music video was shot in Cuba, and I have to say, watching back, it is so classy. You know, this is coming from that line dancing in Marbella music video with the fiddles and everything, which, by the way, I must say, the fiddles that you hear in 5, 6, 7, 8 wasn't in the original demo. Once Pete Waterman and his producers heard it, they decided to add that in. So anyway, you've got that novelty record. And then this, they are styled so wonderfully. They didn't appear to be a band aimed at kids in the way they dressed. Sure, the dance routines was a little bit that, but there's a little bit more of a retro chic with what they're wearing, you know.
Sexy.
And then you look at Faye's kind of orange bathing suit. That's very like Charlie's Angels, very 70s, isn't it?
It's adding a bit of a vintage touch to the 90s, which the 90s really did have as well.
One of my favourite parts of this video was watching the promo for it, and Lisa kept going how her favourite part was pushing Lee into the pool, and she only had one take to do it.
Oh my God.
And then I was watching this EPK where Lee was talking about how, you know, he had to get undressed underwater and, you know, it was so difficult because the trousers were like sticking to his skin. I just thought, oh my Lord.
As by magic, he gets out of the fire and into the swimming pool. He strips underwater and he emerges just in his Speedos. Oh my God. It was like love hearts popping out of my eyes.
That's just in the background, though, right?
Yeah, it's like, give us that full sequence of all that trouble. Lee having to breathe underwater for so long, hold his breath, getting all those tight clothes off. It keeps cutting in and out, and then, yeah, it's just in the background.
We need the Gay Times edit of this.
Yes. Yes. And even 8-year-old Joel eating his Cocoa Pops watching SMTV needed that, you know? So Steps are here and they have officially established who they are, David. And it really did pay off because this was a number 6 hit here in the UK. Peaked at number 2 on the UK indie charts. Number 2 in Scotland. Thank you, Scotland. Number 5 in Australia. I like what you're doing. Belgium, it was number 1. Number 11 in Ireland. Number 24 in New Zealand. From the beginning of summer to peak of summer. August 1998, Steps emerge with a gorgeous, stunning ballad, One for Sorrow. David, rumour has it that Claire recorded her vocal for this song in one take.
Queen. Wow.
And anyone that has watched Steps Reunion will know that some tensions did arise from within the group because it was the first one where Claire kind of was lead throughout. And everyone was like, excuse me, where's my singing bit?
Very the JB when he gets an edit back from me for an episode. He's like, you cut out all my singing bits.
Absolutely that.
You know, in preparation for this episode, it really is sinking in for me what an essential track this is for Steps' discography. I think this has gone up in my estimation by about 50 places.
It is, David, as well. And maybe this is something we'll get on every episode now, but this is my new favourite shower song.
Oh, okay. I can hear this in the JB set, yeah.
/ singing in the office, because that's what you got a video of me the other day. But ever since then, it's just like something's fallen into place. And oh my God, I really do feel like I am Claire in the shower blasting this one out. What I need to do and what I have started doing, because my shower is, it's a bath shower, but it does have a glass panel there. So I've started to use that as looking out the window and using the shower as rain.
Oh, yes.
And like somber singing it through, which this song is perfect for. It's how Claire, you know, opens in the music video, looking out the window wistfully. I wanted your love, but look what it's done to me. That's all I'll give you for
Jolie!
Today. It's been an hour and 45 minutes. I know, and I've not even finished the first song. Can you believe it? Could you make me a cocktail, actually, if you're waiting? But it is so stunning.
Shall we talk about this music video? Because it's another beautiful... They are really, like, ticking the boxes on their frequent flyer miles, aren't they? Because this one is shot in Tuscany.
And what's interesting is that the band said, yes, well, look, while it was visually gorgeous, these very picturesque shots, us walking through the fields... On the other side of the camera and the setup and everything we weren't seeing was sewage.
Lovely.
Said it was dead pongy.
But you got to suffer for your art.
You got to suffer for your art. And it's all about what you get in that frame and get it in that frame. They did.
Exactly. And they look like an absolute vision of summer purity. You know, everyone's dressed in all white. They're cycling around town, playing amongst the sunflowers in the field. It is a little bit like Steps does Call Me By Your Name.
Oh my God. That's genius.
Just throwing a peach in there. Lee with a peach.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, Lisa, instead of, because she has that shot with putting the bananas on her head, which is absolutely me starting to socialise again and not having any idea how to do social interaction and just grabbing them and like, there's banana on my head. And it just not pleasing anyone. So yeah, we'll take that out. We'll give Lee a peach. We'll call it a day.
I will say, because I've watched this music video so many times in the last 48 hours, I think I've now mastered the routine of the one in the air, you know, one for sorrow. Is it two, two, two? Yeah. The second two is horizontal to your body. And then you do the disco two across the eyes.
Exactly. Congratulations, David. Welcome to 1998. We're very pleased to have you here. So if you weren't aware, David, with every step single in the booklet, it would have the dance moves in there so you could learn them at home.
Booklet?
Well, like the slipcase. So you've got the front cover on the other side.
Inside.
Right. Let me, I feel like I need to strip this back.
Hold up. Because you know, like Dan from Track by Track got rid of a bunch of singles a couple of years ago. And he's pretty much got all of Step's discography in there. And I've never thought of looking inside to check.
Never thought of looking inside.
No, I didn't think.
Now, Dan, what you've done really is that day has ignited something in David Lim. Like, you always loved having a CD single, but I feel like that, it was like giving you the pop equivalent of a fat load of coke, because now you are just addicted to buying CD singles. And look, everyone's got a vice, and I love that it brings you happiness, so just go for it. It's a cheaper habit than all this bloody ridiculous expensive vinyl I keep buying. But Dan, I blame you. You encouraged it without realizing.
But you know what it is? Like, growing up in Australia and Malaysia, I didn't buy CD singles very much until the later years, because I was just like, you know, when you've got such limited pocket money as a kid, you don't want, you're very particular about what you spend your money on.
Exactly.
So yeah, I'm going to check the booklets now after this record and we'll do a TikTok.
Mr. doesn't want to do anything on camera, Lim, saying he'll do a TikTok. Bloody hell. David, do you remember when we went to see Steps? Literally, it was the best ever. I'd already seen them the night before I was hungover. You had these tickets and I was like, let's go. And we had the best seats in Wembley Arena, in my opinion. And literally, do you remember you were quite surprised that both me and most of the arena were doing the routines?
Yeah. Because I'm like, you know, you guys remember this? Like, wow. I barely know the routine to Stop. Okay, don't tell anyone, but yeah.
Were you kind of unaware?
Left out, yes.
I was dancing hard enough for both of us. Were you aware that that was, obviously Steps, that was in their name and that was part of it. Were you aware that, yes, they had a routine for everything, but part of it as well was for the audience to do that routine. Were you aware of that element?
I wasn't aware that that was deliberately simplified and pushed with every song. I knew the tragedy routine was very iconic, but I didn't know that this was carried out through all of their records. So imagine my surprise in that arena as the only person to not know anything.
You just sat there, it starts, you're like, all right, one song, oh that's fun, that's cute. Three songs in, are you doing that for every song? Yes, me having the best time of my life. So David, as well as being a gorgeous ballad and a big hit here in the UK, this song was remixed and used for the American launch of Steps.
I love the Tony Moran remix. For me, that is like the definitive version now. I'm sorry. Like, that's the one I'm going to go to every single time.
Whew, wow. Well, look, it is the big right back at you disagreement of 2021. No, I'm really interested because to me, and maybe it is because I know the other one so well, but even as an adult and trying to look at it through the eyes that we look at everything before an episode, like really take it in and analyze it and give it as like kind of a fresh equal footing as possible, It's fine, but it feels so unnecessary to me. Like, I just don't know why you would take that gorgeous song and do this to it. And this is from someone that doesn't even like ballads. I just don't think the music video is great. I don't think the remix is great. And I just think it was a really wasted opportunity for their American launch. I feel like Jive fucked up with this one.
I completely disagree. I thought the music video for the US version is very necessary. And it completely put them in a space where they're ready to compete in the American market. Because as much as we like the white yoga trousers and the all-white ensemble in the field, in the US version, it kind of looks more like a Skechers commercial filmed at GAY. Like, I loved it. Claire's got these white overalls on. You know, Lisa's got like a sexy gilet. They looked more like the type of band that would go on tour with Britney, which they did that year.
We'll agree to disagree.
Yeah.
And we're never getting Steps Part 2 now.
Can't believe it's One for Sorrow that did us in.
Great. This, we'll have to add it to the One for Sorrow Wikipedia page. This song by Steps caused the great right back at your disagreement of 2020-21. This song not only was the American debut of Steps, but it was the second single off the Melissa Joan Hart film Drive Me Crazy soundtrack, the first being Britney's Crazy The Stop remix. So, David, do you know who makes a cameo in this music video?
No.
Not only does Jive label mate Don Philip make an appearance in this music video, but more excitingly,
Ellie Campbell?
Britney!
Britney's in his video!
Actual Britney!
Where?
It's a blink and you'll miss. I'll send it to you after. She's in the video, just having a little dance like
and
that.
And you still don't like this video?
Not even Britney could save this video. So apparently they were all on tour with Britney. Britney had a day off, so she came down, was doing a bit of dancing. And it's very blink and you miss. It's nowhere near a prominent cameo. Like, I had to watch it a few times and look in the comments of the timestamp where it was. So this song, number two here in the UK, number one on the UK indie charts. It's their only American single charting ever. It was number 38 on the US dance club songs on the Billboard charts, number 2 in Scotland, 13 in New Zealand, 34 in Australia, big fat number 1 in Belgium, and a number 40 in Belgium on their two respective charts, 26 on Canada dance slash urban. Lisa Scott Lee will be happy with
urban.
That
wow.
Number 4 in Ireland. You know, just doing wonders and numbers across the globe. Let's then take us to September 1998, where Steps thrust upon us their debut album. And what do you call your debut album with a band called Steps? Step One.
This was right in your lane, wasn't it?
This was right in my lane. And I had this album. Steps were really, for me, the first band to do this. Like, this was my first big mixed pop band, and I remember just being so excited by them and really taking them in with both hands and literally holding this album with both hands and taking in that cover. What I love on the cover is you've got the five of them and like Head and Shoulders, one side up they're all doing lovely normal smiles, and then on the other side they're doing pulling funny faces. I used to flip the cover and really stare at it for a long time, really take it all in. Then turn it over, take it all in the other side.
I never even thought about that, because the title Steps, Step One, is also mirrored in the bottom. So you literally could do that and it would make sense. You could go into HMV and flip that over.
You could, and that sounds like something I would do, but I didn't. So I found even that really fascinating.
Of course, there's, what, 5 singles off this album? We're going to come to them all. But album tracks, JB, what jumped out at you?
The main standout for me is Love You More, which I never realised was a cover of a single by the techno group Suncream.
Sunscreen.
Oh, okay. Sunscreen.
It's kind of clever once you let it sink in, yeah.
We can turn one into water, to sadness into laughter, but you know.
I really want want to see this released by like a big R&B soul vocalist, like a Beverly Knight or Misha Paris, you know, because imagine this with like a soul vocal and 90s house production, like...
Stunning. So what about you? Did you have any standouts on the album?
I have to say the most surprising moment for me was Experienced.
Oh my God.
I know. The H solo track that is kind of coming for George Michael's moment. And the lyrics, Joel.
Those lyrics. This is what I've got listed as my most what the fuck moment of the album. It's a song about a young man losing his virginity to an older woman. And that just feels very misplaced here for me.
It's trying to be the male Y2K version of To Sir With Love. But the lyrics, guys, everybody needs someone to show them how. Even though the touch is just a memory now, I won't forget the moment I lost my innocence, the day I became experienced.
Like, is, what happened to this woman? Is she dead? I'll be perfectly honest. I felt like, and look, I think H is brilliant. I think he's really talented and seems lovely and is like an integral part of Steps, obviously. But I just felt like both the H solo, so Experienced and Too Weak to Resist, was just kind of like a trip to the musical theatre matinee in this album that we didn't need.
I was floored because, listen, I did not know this album until like this week. So I had one idea of what it would sound like, and Experienced completely
was
threw
not
me.
It. Like, no. Yeah, luckily I don't have recollections of listening to that as a kid, but imagine me singing around that. And I know we do sing loads of like songs with inappropriate lyrics and it doesn't matter. A bunch of these songs on this album are covers. Obviously, Last Thing on My Mind. So as we've said, Love You More is a cover. Experience, Pete Waterman must have really thought this song was a surefire hit for a long time because it was recorded by both the Barrio Boys and Worlds Apart. And then also the track Stay With Me was on Romeo's Daughter's debut album.
I would say at this point in their careers, Steps are probably not an albums artist. They do lots of great hit singles, and we're lucky to have so many on an album that it doesn't even matter if you have a few kind of mediocre album tracks. But yeah, what a choice. You know, there are some moments here where I was like, okay.
I guess what you mean is album artists, because they were album sellers. There's no doubt about that. But yes, it's not in terms of... There's a reason why we praise a pop album when it is a complete body of work, like how we won't stop talking about Rachel Stevens' album, because sometimes things like that are a rarity, and especially in this at this time specifically, in this day and age. 98, like, we were spoiled with the Spice Girls albums, like 10 tracks, all killer, no filler. But stereotypically, for a band like Steps, you're going to have amazing songs in there and you are going to have a few filler moments. And I would say as a whole, it doesn't feel like that, but there are a few. But it's a very strong album.
But you know what makes it even stronger? The US version of this, which was released 2 years later. And that one, the track listing was revamped and it essentially was a best of all the singles from not only this album, but Steptacular, their second album. Now that really is all killer, no filler.
Yeah, and I mean, imagine that. So February 2000, Steps are launching Step One in the States. They're using the Steptacular cover, but the title Step One. They are giving you two albums worth of singles, and Steps give you a lot of singles per album. What I would say is the downfall of the US release, unfortunately, is that they miss off one of my favourite Steps singles, Better Best Forgotten.
Oh, that's not in the US version.
It's not on the US version. Maybe someone at Steps Camp thought it was Better Best Forgotten and they were wrong.
Deeper Shade of Shade.
So the American version did peak at number 79 on the US Billboard 200, which is really impressive. It peaked at number 2 here in the UK, David. 5 in Australia.
This album goes on to sell over 2.5 million copies here in the UK alone. Stayed on the charts for 64 weeks. 5 times platinum. In Australia, it stayed on the charts for 36 weeks, so very, very present. And I remember lots of girls in primary school were obsessed with this. So, you know, very often you would see the CDs creep into the classroom.
And you went, you've got no taste.
Let me listen to Run DMC. Gets out the vitamin C CD instead.
I ain't got nobody that I can rely on.
just me, myself, and
there's vitamin C at Brasserie Zadel.
Number one in Belgium, Hello Belgium. 8 in Ireland, 19 on the Japanese album charts, 6 in New Zealand, 9 on the Taiwanese albums charts. What a very strong step one indeed for Steps. So let's move on to November 1998. They release a double A-side, Heartbeat and Tragedy. Both of these music videos give the band a really good chance to give a bit of the acting a go.
Absolutely hilarious setting where they're skiing, it's kind of Winter Wonderland vibes, but also like the plot is H getting kidnapped by dwarves and he's like taken to the Snow Queen. Yeah, it's very Narnia, isn't it, in that sense.
Yeah, I found the video, I think, as a kid a little bit dead scary, but it is really funny. But luckily, the rest of Steps save him. They sort of turn into superhero-ish, Avengery type things.
The three girls do look like Charlie's Angels on the ski slopes.
That's the UK musical theatre tour of Charlie's Angels we need, the Steps girls.
Also, we must say, with this double A-side single, we see the debut of Faye's dreadlocks. You know, pre-cultural appropriation narrative.
I know, it's... I just don't know what's the best way to word this because it's incredibly iconic.
I think it's fair that so much conversation and awareness has come out of it in the last few years. I think it's very important. But also, like, I see it more as culture and influences being shared. I love that there's influence across all spectrums. It's important to, you know, acknowledge where it's come from and not do it in a disrespectful way.
Yes, just thank God, you know, we are at a place now where we're having conversations and... let's always have the conversations. But in terms of pop was a wild time, and I wonder how much of it was her told she was having that or her choice. And also it's a scheme of, it's the times where I guess you're just like, yeah, we've just got to keep like trying to do things. Like even in her makeup tutorial, she goes as far to say, I believe, like, oh, and this is my favourite part, putting the bindi on. Like, so I think Faye would probably be mortified if it was then considered negative, because I think these things were done out of such a pure joy and, you know, yeah, celebration. Okay, David, so from one heartbeat to the other side of it, Tragedy.
So dramatic when you read it like that. Now, this one is signature to Steps. Real signature.
Now, I have to say a disclaimer. For me, normally, as everyday fan, I would skip 5, 6, 7, 8, and I would skip Tragedy. Because they're so signature and so overplayed. And
overdone,
so,
yeah.
Like, so famous, but they're the two. And obviously, you know, have the best time of my life when we see them live and stuff. For this episode, I've been really like surprised to go, okay, these are actually great songs, brilliant production.
To be fair, they did a great job. Even Robin Gibb himself said the vocals were great and it was done very well. So they really did this song justice. So Tragedy came about because Polydor was doing a Bee Gees tribute album, Gotta Get a Message to You. It was put together by Peter Lorraine, who at that time was at Polydor, and has since started Fascination, which is where Steps is now, managed
Hello,
by.
Hello, Peter.
So that was kind of Peter's idea, as far as what I can tell.
Oh, my God.
To do this album. And they had 9-1-1 covering More Than a Woman. That was a number two hit for them. Robbie Williams was also on this album. Ultranate, Louise, Your Girl. Adam Garcia of Coyote Ugly fame, but also Saturday Night Fever. Saturday Night Fever, the musical. So there's a little bit more of a relevance there.
Amazing. And shout out to... Sorry, everyone, the drilling's really loud, but hey-ho, it is what it is. Maybe someone wants to give us a studio to record in. Shout out to these bands, Steps and 911, that really is like, that's a gift. We're not just going to be on this album. We're going to have that as a single. So I think, yes, that's very interesting. And I think how it goes, this was kind of really last minute. And the video especially was very last minute and low budget. But boy, is it low budget with a big payoff. The plot line is the girls from Steps are getting married and the boys are stopping them with a series of hijinks along the way. We have actual Steps friends and family in the music video,
which is so sweet.
So sweet. Their real dads are walking them down the aisle. We see Claire's mum crying a few times.
And this is Steps' first music video that they filmed in the UK, in London. So, and I love that you said, yeah, you know, comparatively, this was low budget, but it was still like 35 grand. And it was all shot in one day, according to director David Amphlett, who told this to Generation Steps, an amazing, amazing Steps fan website.
Shout out Generation Steps. This song, I would say, is arguably their most famous, and especially their most famous routine. You know, you could say Steps to any straight person and they'll go, Tragedy!
And you know what? Like, I think this was such a turning point in their careers, wasn't it? Having this as a monster hit, and this was a UK number one for Steps. Their first number one, it sold over 1.2 million copies here in the UK alone. It stayed on the charts for 30 weeks, their longest charting single.
And what I love is that it didn't hit number one here in the UK, David, until it had been released for 8 weeks. So it went straight in at number two. It was on the chart for 8 weeks and then it went in at number one. That is such a rarity.
That is resilience. And that is, again, the right back at your longevity card coming to play again.
Oh, got in at number two. That's quite a miss in the noughties. No, longevity.
Can you imagine if it was like Monopoly, where you roll the dice and you land on a thing, you have to pick a card, and it's like one of the cards you pick, your third single stalls at number 75, you get dropped, move back three spaces.
And then luckily you get, you know, the Atomic Kitten Hole Again wild card. You manage yes. to beg your record company to release it.
Yeah.
Smash hit number one.
Advance to go, collect your royalties of $2,000. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be like the thing that gets you out of jail.
Honestly, like, we should probably edit this out so no one steals our idea. Like, save it.
Board game companies, we are available. So I'm talking about how now I would skip it. When I was a kid, though, David, Tragedy seemed like real hot property because this wasn't on the album. What I take my hat off to Steps with is they didn't do a Step One re-release. You know, it just was on the next album, which felt really nice. And again, they did that with later releases.
It's very cleverly done, isn't it? Doing it as a double A-side, as a bridge between the last record of this era and the first single of the next one.
Well, yes, although we have still got another single to come from this album.
True, 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 yeah.
Tragedy was used as Steps' second single in America, and it wasn't a double A-side, it was just Tragedy. Although did not chart in America, unfortunately.
Well, there you go. That's the tragedy, yeah.
That is the tragedy. This was a number one hit in Scotland, on the UK indie chart, in New Zealand. It was a number two hit in Ireland, and number 10 in Australia, number 8 and 27, respectively, on the two Belgium charts. How do you follow up your incredible discography to date with some killer music videos, but we don't have YouTube, so they're not available on demand anywhere? Of course, you release Steps the video in November 1998. Now, not only do you get all the hit and creative and genius music videos so far, you also get to see a bit more about the band. You get to see them all doing their five go-to hobbies one by one, and you get to live in this weird, trippy Steps universe where they're all chilling and performing in this green screen wonder experience. So you have them sat on a sofa but is flying through the sky. Very, very trippy, very kitsch, very 90s.
All of them very natural, very likable presenters. You know, there was just a good energy. I grew up watching 1 hour of Girl Power by the Spice Girls, which I had on VHS and I watched endlessly. So that's kind of a similar concept to this.
Absolutely, yeah.
Except the Spice Girls was more wonderfully chaotic in their own amazing energy, whereas Steps kind of felt like more, okay, everyone gets a moment to shine.
It felt like the pilot for like Steps doing SMTV. So we have H, who takes you to the circus, keeps saying, you know, let's go to the Big Top. And I'm like, all right, bloody hell. He's showing you some circus tricks.
He did tightrope walking to Experienced, his solo track. I was, oh my God, there it is again.
But what's good as well is that it does give you something for everyone. You have Lee doing workout and football skills. I watched that segment, still know nothing about either, but, you know, had a great time.
My favourite bit was where, like, Lisa's asking about Lee's football friends. They're like, oh yeah, do they wear little shorts? What colour are the kits? Are they good looking? I'm like, mood, absolute mood. That's my girl.
Gay icon, Lisa Scott Lee. We have the infamous Cooking with Claire, where she cooks her signature dish, pasta alla Clara.
Honey, I've never seen anyone use canned tomato soup as like the base.
Pasta sauce.
No, baby, no, as Nicole Scherzinger would say.
The 90s was wild. So the thing is like all of this is adjacent to kind of like uni culture and booze Britain culture in a way of like, it's that harsh glamour mixed with not glamorous. You have obviously trained dance teacher Lisa Scott Lee doing a dance class. And I love that she's like, fucking hell. That's not what she says on it. Well, I actually don't find the dance routines too hard because they're all designed for you to learn them at home. It's like, all right, we get it. You've trained. Like,
and what a foreshadowing that is to Lisa Scott Lee's performing arts school in Dubai, right?
Performing arts. Yes, exactly.
In a way, like when you watch all of their passions, it's very them and it is reflective and indicative of who they are today still. Like Lee's a personal trainer now. Like he actually is qualified.
Obviously, we have the iconic Faye doing her makeup tips, getting ready for a night out.
Honey, not just anywhere. In the Hilton, darling, overlooking Park Lane, where she used to perform.
Where she was hired as the singer. So obviously as well, H was a Butlin's Redcoat entertainer prior to Steps. So that's very apparent.
You can see him as a children's entertainer. He's got great energy for that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
So I vividly remember getting this VHS, David. I think I'd actually gone out on the hunt to try and get Tragedy on CD single because I so desperately wanted it. And then we saw this Steps of the video in Woolworths or somewhere, and it said featuring the videos of da 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 and Tragedy. And my dad was like, oh, that's got Tragedy on it. So somehow I then convinced him that he had to get that video for my sister Kylie. Bearing in mind, she didn't mind Steps, but she was like, not bothered. And then I'm like, yeah, she will love that. You have to get that for her.
Two of us can get something out of this. It's not just me. Kylie wants
it. I don't even want it, but Kylie wants it a lot. So we should get that for her.
As kids, we are such experts in reverse psychology, aren't we? I think about the manipulation I put my dad through for a couple of Lego sets when I was a kid. My God.
So let's fast forward to March 1999 with their final single from this album, Better Best Forgotten. Now, David, this single actually had to be pushed back due to the success of Tragedy and Heartbeat.
And also March makes sense because they've got a tour that's about to kick off that month. You need a new single. You need something new to perform on telly, don't you?
So, David, Better Best Forgotten. For me, this is a classic. I absolutely love this song. The metallic blue outfits in the video, heaven. Steps for Tammy Girl. Did you have Tammy Girl in Australia?
No, what's a Tammy Girl?
Tammy Girl is like, it was kind of like if Claire's accessories did clothes. Topshop Juniors, like.
But is it a little bit costumey as opposed to like high street casual?
No, but you got to remember, like, those metallic blue outfits were high street casual to nine-year-olds. Not the full outfit, but you'd wear that jacket. I'd wear that jacket
I'd wear all of this now, yeah. It's a statement piece.
So I absolutely love it because I love that kind of like metallic-y neon mishmash, like aquatic, yep. Blue.
It's nylon, yeah.
PVC. Very reflective. Plasticky, yeah. Sexy. So look, I think this might be the cheapest video yet, but it absolutely does the job, especially for the last single off the album. I tell you what I didn't need though. I just didn't need the hijinks from the boys on this one, but I guess they just wanted to give them something to do. For the last single of this album, still did extremely well, even though everyone's already got it. This was a number 2 hit here in the UK, number 1 on the UK indie charts, 2 in Scotland, 8 in Ireland, 20 in Belgium, 77 in the Netherlands, gold here in the UK with 400,000 units sold. So also around this time, David, in February, March 1999... we've spoken about it many times on this podcast, but it is the holy grail of Right Back At You, and we will talk about it every time we cover one of the acts. Thank ABBA for the music at the Brit Awards 1999, the greatest music collaboration of all time. And I think since the last time we spoke about it, everyone, David got me the best gift of humanity could ever give a gay man. David got me the single of this on vinyl, which even came with the press release. Thank you, baby.
You know, I was in a market in Tooting Broadway, and then I saw this, and I screamed. I mean, muffled from behind my mask, but I screamed. And the man's like, oh, do you need help there? I'm like, call the paramedics. Look what I found. I knew straight away that had to be a gift for the JB. Oh. But yeah, what a find that was.
What a find.
So while we're at the Brits in 99, Steps were actually nominated for Best British Breakthrough Act. Now, I believe this one is a public voted category, and it caused a little bit of an uproar when it went to Belle and Sebastian instead of Steps, who everyone thought would be shoo-in to win the award because of Radio 1 listeners, etc., etc.
And apparently the band had been told they'd won it.
Apparently Pete Waterman was told that they won it.
There's nothing more awkward. Like, even if you didn't care, it's so awkward when everyone looks at you and you've got to, like, then do that fake it's okay face. So while we're still on ABBA, David, let's fast forward to later in 1999 for a moment. We had the ITV special ABBA Mania, which was hosted by Denise Van Outen, featured Steps, Westlife, Martin McCutcheon. It was real. It was like the original Hun's Night Out.
DVO.
Oh
no
my
less.
God. It's so funny. The way she's presenting, like Lee says he played the violin or something. She goes, oh, sexy.
I didn't grow up knowing what the DVO was, but I got a very strong essence of this watching this special because she intros it and she's like, who knows if you like it? I might do a karaoke for you. And she does sing on it.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Of course she would sing Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. Like, yeah. That is the song for her.
The DVO is like an entertainment personality. Yes, she's a singer, an actress, a presenter and West End star. But with Denise Van Outen, you're sold the personality. So she'll give you that, you know?
It's a real shame that my life in a UK test had no questions on Denise Van Outen because...
Shocking.
If you want to stay in this country, you need to know.
So remember when I said about how Johnny Vaughan and Denise Van Outen's cover of Especially If You was kind of my intro to Kylie? Steps were the backing singers on that song.
Yeah, she's the conduit. She's the cultural conduit in the 90s for all of us.
There was a lot going on here. It was a TV special in October that then released a album to coincide with it. And Steps here did 2 ABBA songs, Lay All Your Love on Me and I Know Him So Well from Chess, which is written by Benny and Bjorn.
You can't beat Steps and not pay homage to ABBA in some way, but I'm glad that it wasn't like a big, you know, they didn't release like Mamma Mia or they didn't release Lay All Your Love on Me as a single, you know, just to capitalize of it. I felt like the public then would have been like, huh, you already did Tragedy, like, are you just, is that what you do now, like just covers?
Just covers, like how we felt like that about A1. Now, I Know Him So Well was released as a single from the guys of Steps, but that is for a later episode. So let's go back a bit to March and April 1999. Steps embark on their first ever tour, the Step One Tour. Now, this is 28 dates in smaller venues around the UK and includes one date in Belgium due to their massive success in that country. So this is the first and only time, really, we'll see Steps in smaller venues.
I loved the flashing message on the screen before they came on stage. It's like, 2 minutes to go. Are you ready for Steps? Ah! have you been to the toilet? Have you bought your tour program? I'm like, this is giving me anxiety before they come on stage. I was like,
yeah, no, imagine having 2 minutes to go to the loo. Just go to the loo, go to the bar and get a tour program. That's not going to happen, is it?
Yeah, but all these pressing questions when it's like 2 minutes to go got me stressed.
Steps, they got me stressed. Great to see them doing a tour straight away, because a lot of these bands, or you know, like just getting going, because a lot of these bands like the Spice Girls and S Club, they did wait for like arena tour, whereas this is kind of like hitting the ground running and getting out there, you know. So let's cut to that summer, David, and we are going to get the first single of the second album in July 1999. It's one of my absolute favorites.
Wow.
Love's Got a Hold on My Heart. Steps are back. It's so exciting. This song is just such like a banger. It's fun, signature Steps. It's kind of like dramatic. It's like they're, as the song continues, it's like teamwork. Like they're not battling against each other, but the song amps up, you know. It's like, and now it's too late, put up a fight. Duh, duh. It's like the ladder of Steps is climbing and the song gets more and more dramatic as it goes on, but in a unison team way, and I fucking love it.
JB, I must say, singles from the second album era really largely pass me by. These are singles that I've had sitting under my bed.
With the dance moves.
Yes, with the dance moves instructions in there.
I vividly remember my mum getting this CD single for me in Debenhams and it being a real treat. I was so excited. Like, I love the summery outfits. Like, you know, it's like yellow outfits. Claire's got the cowboy hat on.
I think I'm going to need a moment with this song, because it to me is one of the more forgettable moments in their discography. And I know you're going to be upset. I think I wanted something different. Something a little bit more different, maybe.
Well, that's not what you got. But David, what about the moments with, like, you've got Lisa's iconic whisper vocals in it? You know, SOS.
Yes. Now, that I was living for. That I was living for.
Let's talk about the music video then, David.
I love this video. It's a great video.
Great video. Steps being gorgeous in Cannes. The main plot sees the group chase a man who has stolen a film reel from the fictitious Step the Movie. Now, they are teasing us there with Steps the Movie. Give us Steps the Movie, if only we had it. What I love most about this video is Claire's long down hairdo with the headband. It is gorgeous. It is classic. It is very chic. It is a very film star look at Cannes, and it's perfect for this video. I think this one you're going to love by the time it gets to releasing the episode.
Given a bit of time, you never know. This artwork is gorgeous. It might go up on my shelf by the time this episode comes out. So, Love's Got a Hold on My Heart debuted at number 2 in the UK. It was blocked by Ricky Martin's Livin' La Vida Loca. Nonetheless, it stayed on the charts for 14 weeks, certifying silver. Very interesting, looking at the charts in this time, S Club 7's Bring It All Back had just been number 1 5 weeks earlier. So somewhere between the first album era for Steps and this new one, S Club 7 have crept in. Venga Boy's Boom 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 is still in the top 5 this very week. It was just number 1 a month before. So I wonder if, from a public consumption point of view, there's maybe a little bit of an oversaturation of pop groups doing the Eurodance sound.
Possibly. But also, what we've got to remember is what an amazing year 1999 was for pop music. So summer 1999, that makes sense, everything you're saying, because it was probably just wall-to-wall fucking bangers, mate, you know?
Yeah, what a time to be alive.
It was a number 18 hit in New Zealand, 29 in Australia, 14 in Belgium, 9 in Ireland, 12 on the Europe Eurochart Hot 100. So moving on from there, in September and October 1999, Steps go to the US and they open for the one and only Britney on her Baby One More Time American tour. And it's here, David, that H became very good friends with our Britney, aka every gay man's dream. Anyone that's seen the Steps Union documentary knows this, but allegedly tensions arose within the group when H started to fly to each tour stop with Britney on her private jet while the rest of the band travelled on a tour bus. Now, I'm sure there were a lot of people on this jet. They like to tell us in the documentary that it's just literally H and Britney.
The four of them had decided to not fly to each venue to save money because I was reading the recent-ish Steps interview by Nick Levine in The Independent, and H was saying that they were earning about £10 a month after rent. Steps was probably a rarity in the pop world in that time where they were quite sensible and quite savvy about how much they're spending. Allegedly, they've always recouped the money back after every single and every album because they were so on it with what kind of expenses was going out. You can go and live this lavish lifestyle, but you got to remember, like, it all comes out of your money at the end of the day.
Exactly. Like, they're still launching in territories. Like, this Britney tour is to launch them. That's expensive. Like, that's not going to be a case of recouping money yet. So it's very sensible of them to be doing that.
H was saying they were living in hotels, but they would, like, make sandwiches in the morning for to last them the whole day, basically. You know how you get like a complimentary breakfast.
Put it in the napkins, yeah. You're not meant to do that.
They will make their own packed lunches from there.
Well done, guys, for being sensible Steps. There's also like really sweet moment of H teaching Britney how to do Tragedy at the Smash Hits Pole Winners Party. Iconic friendship. That's another documentary we need to see, or a dramatisation of H and Britney, the friendship.
Love to see that.
I wonder if H and John Philip ever had a intimate moment.
Maybe that's what Experience was about. jokes.
So, October 1999, Steps give us the second single from their second album, After the Love Is Gone. Now, for me, this is the most forgettable single that we're going to talk about today. And we may not have tomorrow, but there's always yesterday.
Doesn't even stick to my mind, and it's such a shame because I do love the music video. I know people are going to be like, uh-oh, cultural appropriation siren again, because they're like doing all these quote-unquote oriental dance moves. They're in like Chinese themed outfits. It was filmed in Universal Studios in Florida, but it's meant to look like Chinatown, and you know, we get a little glimpse of Kung Fu Lee, the latch Bruce Lee of the North, he is.
I do have to say, National Treasure Fate is so poised here and is absolutely radiating star quality. And what I love is Lisa with that fan is an unstoppable gay man at a bottomless brunch. And yes, I have been that man.
The familiar sound of a thwop from a fan. That's what I need to hear at brunch. Yeah. Is it even brunch when there's like not a gay throwing a fan
out like that? Like, just... So, you know, look, it's still a Step single doing extremely well. It went in at number 5 here in the UK, number 4 in Scotland, 2 on the UK indie charts, 47 in Australia, 13 in Belgium, 23 on the Europe Euro chart, Hot 100, 18 in Ireland. So, David, let's jump in with the Steps' second album, the greatest title of an album of all time, Steptacular.
This is a mammoth hit album for Steps. 6 singles that were top 5 hits in the UK. It doesn't get bigger than this for Steps' career. And I know I underestimated the first 2 singles, but boy, they were on a roll at this time.
What were your standouts, David?
I really appreciated Never Say Never Again. To me, this feels like a very signature Steps song.
Absolutely.
In a kind of Club ABBA sense. I can kind of hear this as something Pete Waterman would present to Kylie if he was asked to do Kylie's Light Years album.
Nice. Yeah, Yeah, to me, that was the real ABBA-sounding moment of the album, and it was so much fun. What I loved was I Surrender, and I thought it was, if Steps did Donna Summer, this is it. The Steps version of This Time I Know It's For Real.
Yes, yes.
What I also loved was Claire's solo, I Think It's Love. She said many times that Karen Carpenter is a big inspiration of hers, and you can really hear that in this track and in her voice. What I also loved was our girl Lisa Scott Lee's first full solo number, Make It Easy On Me. It is a lovely mid-tempo number. Get it, Lise.
You know, we must say on this album, they all do have a solo each, except for The Latch, unfortunately.
Disgusting.
Hashtag justice for The Latch. We do have another Bananarama cover situation here. Moving On makes an appearance on the album. I would say on the whole, though, in terms of sonic direction, it feels like Pete is clipping their wings a little. I needed to see more evolution, if that makes sense, for a second album.
Well, I'm sorry. I love it. And I think it's I think it's a really strong album. And I think it one-ups the first album. So agree to disagree. And I think you're going to get what you want on the next album.
Did you go out and buy this one?
I did. I went out and bought both of them. I went to the Steptacular tour. And they shouted, "Who's got our new album? Steptacular." And I screamed. And Kylie went, "But you haven't got it, Joel." And I was like, "They don't know that."
Drag me, Kylie. Wow.
So I must have bought it after that, because I was like, oh god, I've lied to Steps that I have their album. The what the fuck moment of this album is the other H solo, My Best Friend's Girl.
I think it should have been given to Lee. You know, it's more straight right in a way.
Yeah.
It also sounds like a kind of single that a soap hun from EastEnders or Brookside would release.
Yeah, like Will Meller and all that.
Will Meller vibes, yes.
And none of this is obviously against H. We absolutely love him and we think he's fantastic. It's just that boys get boring songs.
Well, until you go on the Steps tour and you see Lee's solos, they were not boring.
They weren't boring. They were sexy. Especially on the first reunion tour where he did S&M by Rihanna as his solo
song.
Can
you imagine Lee singing the lyrics, "Sex in the air, but I like the smell of it"? I mean, that would send the JB off the edge, like falling off from the arena balcony.
Panic here at the arena tonight as one fan had one too many drinks and went literally head over heels at the Lee Latchford Evans solo number. David, this album was a number one smash hit here in the UK, both on the album charts and the UK independent album charts, and a number one in Scotland, number 11 in Ireland, come on guys, number 2 in Belgium, 25 in Australia, and number 25 on the Japanese album charts.
This album stayed on top of the UK charts for 3 weeks, certifying 4 times platinum, so get it.
Absolutely get it. So they ended off December 1999 with their first UK arena tour, the Next Step Tour.
Now, Jolie, at the time, this was the biggest UK pop tour in history.
Bloody hell. Well, it would be. And 1999's not finished for Steps yet. They're going to release their next single, the double A-side, Say You'll Be Mine and Better the Devil You Know.
Can I just say, I really do enjoy Say You'll Be Mine.
You can. That's what we're going to talk about on this podcast.
To me, it feels like a really nice fit for US audiences.
Yeah.
It's a cute mid-tempo with a bit of a descendant of Ace of Base vibes.
Yeah, funky.
Yeah, a bit funkier and less ABBA on speed. It's a different side to Steps. Shout out to the Matt Pop old school remix, which kind of gives it more of an 80s Stott Aitken and Waterman vibe that I really appreciate.
Let's talk about this music video, David. So look, if they're not giving us Steps the movie anytime soon, they really are teasing us, because here we've got many movie homages. And it really reminds you of like how in the late 90s and 2000s, there just were huge movies that everyone knew. We've got Austin Powers, Titanic, Romeo and Juliet, There's Something About Mary, like really big hitters. Catwoman. Give us a Catwoman remake starring Faye Tozer, or at least a UK tour.
Can you imagine Catwoman the musical starring Faye? You better stop, better run away.
Featuring the songs of Bardot.
Poison in Catwoman the musical would not be out of place, I'll tell you that.
All those recreations are iconic and they look great. The costuming's brilliant. The sets are brilliant. Do you think, though, David, there's Something About Mary recreation? A little bit awkward. So much so that we literally have the cum on Lee's ear.
Oh, I didn't see that. Claire's...
They try and hide it from you, but it is there. And then Claire grabs it from him and does the thing. And I'm not a prude at all. Like, and as a kid, it didn't bother me. It just felt like that's the one thing that could stop this from being on heavy rotation on the Disney Channel, especially if you're thinking about the US market.
Look, maybe Steps was rebelling and they were just trying to break out of that squeaky clean image.
Shall we talk about Better the Devil You Know?
Oh, yeah.
Controversially, Devo, this is not my favourite Steps or Kylie song.
I mean, go wild in the concert when she sings it. I'll be singing on top of my lungs. But do I ever, in my own personal time, play Better the Devil You Know while I'm making pasta a la Clara? No.
Exactly. And like, don't get me wrong, I live my life when they sing these songs and I'm joining in the routine. Like, I feel like I am in Steps. But nah, it just doesn't do it for me, because it is just another one of those overdone things. But lots of fun, and they did a great job, and it pops off at the concerts.
This double A side, I think in the timing of it all, kind of made this a little bit of canon with Steps fandom. Better the Devil You Know, the Devil Horns at the concert, and their album Steptacular went number one in Halloween. So it kind of felt like, even when we went to that Steps concert, there were lots of people with Devil Horns.
You go to a pop concert in the 90s, and now like a Steps tour now, you'll have cowboy hats, you'll have devil horns, or you'll have those things with the pom-poms on the end, like a wire with the pom-pom.
As seen on Obsessed, the Joel Babington comedy special.
Exactly. Thank you for the plug, David. They are the merchandise equivalent of going, at a pop concert.
And God, did H really ramp the kids up doing that annoying sound at the concerts, didn't he?
It's a classic sound. You have to do it. It's part of the fun. We haven't spoken about the music video, guys. The music video is from the tour. It's a live performance. Great. Does the job. What I love about it is I love that slick sort of plasticky PVC looking red jacket. I think it's slick. I think it's sexy. I think it's iconic of the time.
Red leather or red leather adjacent things is very like signature to the noughties. And I feel like it's something that pops up for the JB. You know, his eyes go straight to it.
I did try one on that looked similar to it in Beyond Retro once, and I couldn't pull it off, and I'm still devastated about it. My mum has these red leather sofas and I'm always like, oops, I did it again.
Wendy, if you're ready to throw out that couch, we're ready to make an outfit. Can you imagine? We're just sitting there waiting for the day that she decides to get new furniture. Oh, we'll get rid of that for you, Wens. Don't worry about it.
Oh, weren't you good boys? Oh, you're lovely boys doing that for me. So this song was number 4 here in the UK, went in at number 1 on the UK indie charts, number 3 in Scotland. Scotland, you are showing up and showing out. We appreciate it. 21 in Australia. It's nice to see that they're at this point still consistently charting in Australia throughout their career. Belgium, 42. Europe, 19. 7 in Hungary. Hello, Hungary. Love it. Love to see it. 13 in Ireland. February 2000, what do you do when you're launching an album in America and you're a teen pop star in the early aughts? You do a Disney Channel concert special, co-headlined with a boy band called Youngstown. what a way, I mean, what a rite of passage for your American launch.
I think it was very savvy, and they said this in the special as well, that they waited until they've sold several million copies around the world before coming to America with a success story.
Steps are this new British band, and they're best friends with Britney.
I'm sure the label would have loved that because they're both on Jive. So yeah, that would have made a lot of sense. Where's that joint smash hits cover, that J14 joint cover?
Well, there is the really famous smash hits cover of Britney and Steps.
Really?
And Britney's like covering her ears and Steps all like being loud. Let me just find it and show it to you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But we needed that on the American launch and the American press, you know, not on the UK. I mean, obviously the UK will eat it up, but where it would have helped was, you know, the American push. So also in February, Steps launched their CBBC Steps talent show, Steps to the Stars. Now, this show was hosted by H and Claire, judging young talent and encouraging them, giving them tips. It was kind of like Pop Idol Juniors, but hosted by H and Claire. And then Steps, the rest of Steps rock up at the end of each episode for their obliged performance. Now, the JB would be pissed if say we were doing it, say you hosted your own show and I just had to come up at the end. So the great thing is, Joe, is that, and then we want you to come out at the end and then, you know, you do a little thing and... Right.
I know, it did feel a bit unfair that the two of them got to have more screen time than the rest. I don't know. I feel like it could have been like H and Claire presents one part of the show and then the rest of them do the other bit, or, you know, just split it up a little bit.
Yeah, just on a rotation.
A bit of a rotation, like maybe Lee's backstage talking to the kids. How are you feeling before you go on? Joel passes out. Yeah. Oh my God, it's Lee.
Exactly that.
There were some really famous people that came up on this show. Danny from McFly was part of this.
With his sister, who's a like singer in her own right.
Gareth Gates went through this as well. And Sean from Same Difference without his sister.
Icons only. But it was great and it was a really good idea, I think. And you get a performance from Steps at the end of each episode.
There were two seasons two of it, so seasons. They were doing something right.
Smash hit commission, basically. And then also in March 2000, in the words of Sarah Harding, it is about time Steps win their first Brit Award, David.
Steps won the Brit Award for best-selling live act of the year in the year 2000. I mean... They should have gotten Breakthrough Act the year before, but we're glad that we can say Steps are Brit Award winners nonetheless.
Absolutely. And I think there's argument to say that the award was possibly curated for them, but who cares? Absolutely deserved. And, you know, if they do have the best-selling tour of the year before, give them that award. And right, David, let's go to April 2000. I was just turning 9. And we are releasing, I don't think us, unfortunately, Steps are releasing what's, I wouldn't say it's definitively my favourite, but I would say it's arguably their best song, Deeper Shade of Blue.
I would say, I mean, I think everyone would say this is a real fan favorite.
Oh my God,
it is,
yeah.
Iconic, and I am mad at myself that decades went by with me not knowing this song. I only really know Deeper Shade of Blue, I think, in the last 4 years.
Wow.
And I stan this song. This is going to be my favorite song out of this episode.
It is an amazing song. This is just the best song, and it's not a reach. It's not a tragedy. It's like, this is the best song. It can never be played too much. Like, that's just the number one.
This can never be played too much. There's no, like, kind of novelty factor guilt about this.
So, David, they have, speaking of, if I liked the blue outfits before, boy, they are giving you, like, cool, like, futuristic flight attendant outfits, would you say that possibly is?
Yeah, I mean, it's a nod to Thunderbirds, but blue latex. And I love that in the music video, they were reimagined as sort of like this sci-fi alien creatures. I mean, we got to say shout out to Faye's alter ego with that blue spiky hair. Stunning. And also Claire's. Oh, my God. Scream. Claire's blue one piece with the hood and then the blue electric blue ponytail at the top. That needs to be recreated for the Drag Race runway.
Well, look, everyone knows how we love a high pony, so
this is high pony in a latex catsuit.
In a latex sci-fi sexy world.
This is everything.
Speaking of their alter egos, to be honest, they did Lisa the dirty.
I don't think they did her dirty. Look, she had an all blue body paint situation going on. She stood out. I'd rather stand out than blend in.
I just feel like they spent less time on her.
Yeah, but she did get to be blue all over with like a striking red wig. I think she looks the most standout out of all of them. And we must say, the most important thing about Deeper Shade of Blue is that our girl Tina Cousins originally recorded this back in 1997. It was never formally released. Some promo vinyls were released, though. And on YouTube, you can find a version where it's Tina's vocals only. And she sounds absolutely amazing on it. This could have been a huge hit for Tina Cousins. And also, her version has like a hint of Spanish guitars in some part of the instrumentation, which I thought was really beautiful.
Machico Shade of Blue. So, Davo, we love this song. You guys love this song. I can't wait later this year to see Steps perform this and we all just lose it. Number 4 here in the UK. Very deserved, very respectable.
They were one of 6 new entries in the top 10 that week. Craig David's Fill Me In debuted at number 1. Flowers by
Sweet Female Attitude.
Number 2.
Wow.
So I feel like Garage was kind of sweeping the UK in this moment. So maybe Loving Steps was starting to feel a bit passé.
Well, still got them in at number 4. Number 2 on the UK indie charts. Number 4 in Scotland. 24 in Ireland. Come on, guys. Number 21 on the Euro Hot 100. And number 36 in Belgium. Absolutely sensational. So May that year, May to June, Steps head off on yet another arena tour, David. They head on the Steptacular arena tour, and what a Steptacular tour it was.
So this is their third tour in as many years, and I'm so happy that this is in good quality on YouTube. Like, if you just search Steps Live at Wembley 2000, you're going to find this playlist on their YouTube channel. Impressive stage, even better costumes. I was blown away.
I went with my sister Kylie, my middle sister Elise, my dad. Elise, who's 10 years older than me, so what was I? I was 10. No, I was 9. So Elise would have been 19. And she had just been, had a breakup that day. Obviously, there's a lot, they're just love songs, love songs, love songs.
Love's got a hold on my heart. Deep Shade of Blue.
She sat there crying her eyes out during the whole concert.
Fucking hell.
So she just looks like she's so happy to see Steps.
Oh my God, bless. She's there in the crowd looking up and Steps is like, I used to say you were wonderful, but now I just wonder where you are. Sorry, babes.
It's all right, Elle. You're however many years, 20 years on, not there to think about.
I'm ugly crying for her now. I mean, a highlight of the Steptacular tour for me was definitely H cartwheeling above the crowd.
Oh, wild.
Through the arena while he was doing Lay All Your Love on Me, the ABBA cover. I mean, that is the most OTT.
That's how you do it.
That's how you do it. Also, I have to say, shout out to Lee, his solo on the tour, Come On, Get Together, which he wrote with Nigel Butler, who's written with S Club. I mean, where is the Lee solo tracks on the album? But we're getting it on tour.
Thank God. Maybe he was always told, oh, they'll be on the re-release, and then the re-release has never happened.
Oh, it'll be a B-side, mate. Don't you worry.
I've been looking on the B-sides of these singles, and it's not on any of them yet. Oh, we're saving it. We're saving it.
Oh, yeah, you know, in the Taiwanese edition. Yeah, it is.
And they love it there. So, you know, you're huge there. You're the George Michael of Taiwan. Oh, great. Right, guys, we're here at the final single of this episode. Can you believe it? But it's a double A side, so let's go for it. When I Said Goodbye and Summer of Love, very aptly titled for where we're at now. Hey, David.
Once again, like the last era, a nice bridge between, you know, the closing of one chapter and the next. One foot in the past, one foot in the future, as they would say.
Ooh, very insightful.
Of you, that is all I can do without you in my life. I know you don't believe it, but I really didn't mean it when I said goodbye.
So shall we start with When I Said Goodbye? Now, David, this song features Claire and H on lead vocals. A little insight to what the future holds there. A stunning, stunning, stunning ballad. You have this gorgeous luxe black and white video. Now, this is where they're giving you sort of style and sophistication, you know, puts the hun in sophistication.
It's a black and white music video shot in Rome. I'm living for Claire's, like, really sexy halter top that's, like, literally just two bits of fabric across the titties, like, down the titties. And I'm just like, oh.
I'll get you that for your birthday, darling. Let me find that outfit for you and I'll get it for you.
I mean, don't worry. I've got a piece of scarf here that I can tape to my tits like that.
I can it's fashion.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just twist it a little and put a belt buckle at the bottom, yeah.
Well, that's the look we need to see on your close friends on your Insta story soon. You got it, flaunt it gorgeous, and you should. And then, so we go from that stunning ballad to, if we've gone from black and white, we are now getting every colour known to the human eyesight with Summer of Love. Now, you know, this is, if we've had ABBA on speed, this is Machico Latino on speed. You know, if they're like, Ricky Martin's beat us to number one before, let's go for it now. Come on, we'll go for that, you know. Where's the J-Lo collab? Where's the Jerry collab? You know, España icons only. Summer of Love.
JB, it really made me think of you, this song, because it kind of really put me in a headspace of Cheetah Girls soundtrack. They're in Barcelona. I feel like the girls could be doing Steps, Summer of Love.
Oh, that's what we needed on Cheetah Girls too. yeah, I love it. It's a great song. Again, to be honest, maybe not for the fandom, but this seemed, I'd forgotten about this when Steps came back in 2012. This was kind of a newer introduction to me. I was like, oh, okay, I didn't know this song. I think this double A side kind of did pass me by. And what we were saying before, it was all of these were big hits, but there was just so much output and we didn't have the internet. You know, if you miss 1 week of smash hits, you miss Top of the Pops 1 week, you've missed it. You know?
This is a bop. And I feel like after recording this episode, I think I'm going to get into Summer of Love even more. Like, that's just lots of good energy and good vibes with this song that I could really get into. But also, I must say, shout out to the music video. The inspiration here, a good Steps versus a bad Steps, you know. They've got two rival Steps, one that's kind of dark and edgy with like black costume, leather trousers, versus like the Technicolor Steps in all the block colors. You know, was this the building blocks of Victoria Beckham's Not Such an Innocent Girl video? Was this the building blocks of Destiny's Child's Lose My Breath video?
Yes. Where
I wanted to see more of a dance battle between good and bad Steps, if I'm honest.
They basically didn't have the budget for the technicalities of that.
Lee's hair, when it's spiked up and pushed out like that, That was very my hair in primary school, so I can relate.
Lisa's got her, like, it's, I was going to say burnt orange, but it's more of like a pink hairdo. So she's taken Kylie's hairdo from the Hits Plus cover and just put a pink rinse on it. And she's good to go.
All the red tones.
All the red tones. So look, this was a number 5 smash hit here in the UK, number 2 on the UK indie charts, 6 in Scotland, 24 in Europe, 18 in Ireland. What a great way to round out the first and second albums, David. Now look, before we leave this completely, David, what has been your favourite Step song we've covered today?
I think the US version of One for Sorrow. I know we fought over that, but I'm going to say that. And also, I think Summer of Love. Yeah, fuck yeah. I'm going to say Summer of Love. And maybe, hopefully, by the time this episode's out, Love's got a hold on my heart.
Mine is Eternally, I'm just going to say, Last Thing on My Mind. Classic.
Yeah, that is a classic.
Classic, pop as a clock, bop.
Very well done by Steps.
Very well done by Steps. And look, thanks Steps. Thanks for giving us this journey that we can walk down and celebrate. Hope you guys have enjoyed it. We are Right Back at you, the 2000s Pop Music Podcast. You can follow us at Right Back Pod on every social platform there is out there. Hit that subscribe button and please do give us a 5-star review. Please follow me on all social platforms at Dr_JoelB, and you can follow him at
@LoveLimmy.
Until next time, guys. Bye.